Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Good afternoon and welcome to today's edition of Let's Talk Business with the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. I am Crystal J. Paul. Today we are here to examine the issues shaping the resilience, competitiveness, and sustainability of Barbados's business community. Today's discussion focuses on a matter that is no longer optional for business, but essential: building climate and disaster resilience, particularly for micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises. As Barbados continues to face increasing climate-related and non-climate risks, from hurricanes and flooding to supply chain disruptions and utility outages, the importance of business continuity planning has never been more evident. MSMEs form the backbone of our economy, driving employment, innovation, and community stability. Yet they remain among the most vulnerable when disasters strike. Against this backdrop, the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, in collaboration with the United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction, UNDRR, is actively leading efforts to strengthen private sector resilience. This week, the BCCI and UNDRR will host an MSME Business Continuity Simulation Exercise at the UN House in Barbados, a practical, hands-on initiative designed to help businesses test and strengthen their preparedness in realistic, multi-hazard scenarios relevant to our local context. Today's program focuses on safeguarding livelihoods, protecting investments, and ensuring Barbados's business community is prepared to withstand and recover from economic, climate, and disaster-related shocks. We are joined by esteemed guests who will share insights on building resilience across the business sector. Today, I welcome Mrs. Misha Loban-Clark, Executive Director of the BCCI. Welcome, Misha.
Thank you, Chris J. Good evening. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to my fellow panelists and to our listeners.
Ms. Lizra Fabien, UNDRR Consultant.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to you and to everyone listening.
Yes, and Mr. Hallam Payne, Managing Director of Steamatic Barbados Limited.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to you and all of our listeners.
Welcome. Well, let's get right into it. I am going with one of the ladies first, Lizra. Let's talk about our understanding of risk and building resilience. Now, from UNDRR's perspective, what are the biggest risks currently facing MSMEs in Barbados, and why is disaster preparedness now a critical business issue?
Well, thank you very much again for having me, and please to support the UNDRR in its work on disaster risk reduction, especially focused on the private sector. And though I can't speak on behalf of the UN itself, but I can share my perspective in supporting them within the private sector of the Caribbean. And what we've seen in terms of MSMEs in Barbados specifically, as well as in even several islands or countries around the Caribbean, is that we are facing compounding and cascading risks. Cascading and compounding, to break it down, is that it's not just one single event. We are positioned within the Caribbean, and we are faced with hurricanes, intense hurricanes, extreme rainfall. I think if everyone go back to just 2 months ago, when there was a lot of rain in Barbados, and there was flooding that took place, and many persons didn't even expect it during that time. But this flooding caused additional challenges for the MSMEs in Barbados, or the business community. We also see that there's water scarcity and heat stress at different times. There are also power and telecommunication disruptions. We also see supply chain interruptions. There's cyber risk. There's a dependency, a grid dependency on the digital infrastructure. And when sometimes the digital infrastructure fails us, that causes additional challenges for businesses. We also see economic shocks following disasters that reduce consumer spending. And once consumer spending reduces, our business community also faces a lot of challenges. So for MSMEs, we see that the issue is not just if a disruption happens, but it's how often and for how long that disruption happens. And disaster preparedness now becomes a core part of business survival, because if an MSME closes, even for 3 to 5 days, the loss can be severe. Think of the businesses that you frequent, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a supermarket, whether it's even transportation from one part of Barbados to the next. And when a business closes for weeks, then recovery becomes even more uncertain. So when a business have no plan, closure becomes permanent, and we see that this is a great challenge for a lot of our businesses. Just even adding that globally, we know that up to 40% of small businesses never reopen after a disaster. In Barbados, it's said that God is a Bajan, and thankfully, we've not seen major hurricanes. I would say major as some other countries happen here, but there are many businesses who close after a disaster, and many struggle to reopen for years because they were unprepared. So we see for the MSME sector and the private sector that preparedness is no longer about a safety conversation, but it's continuity, it's looking at profitability, and it's also competitiveness. How do we keep the business community competitive so that our businesses can generate income and continue for as long as possible?
Yes, you've given us a lot of food for thought, even in that first response. Now, the UNDRR is currently working with the BCCI on this project and is designed to move businesses beyond just theory, as you just mentioned, and into real preparedness, being very, very practical. How does UNDRR measure success in strengthening MSME resilience? And what tangible changes should Barbadian businesses expect to see as a result of this initiative?
Great, I'm happy you asked this question. So this project is with the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI, and we're really delighted that BCCI is taking the leadership in ensuring that our business community can be strengthened, resilience could be enhanced. So we look at from moving from awareness to action, and from action to embedding this into the practice of the business community. And in looking at how success is measured, it's certainly not based on how many people attend the workshop. So for the event that's happening, it's not how many seats are filled, how many names are ticked off, certainly not that. But it's how many businesses, how many MSMEs have a usable business continuity plan. And for those who may be wondering, what's a business continuity plan? This is a plan of action, whether it's a document or some decisions that a business take in how they will respond to the greatest risks or hazards that may affect their business. It also looks at how many businesses know their critical operations and recovery priorities, right? If we can really understand how many businesses know that I may be affected by this risk, so what are the measures I put in place in case this happens? It's also how many businesses can operate within 24 to 72 hours after a disruption. This would really help in understanding or helping to enhance success. Because if businesses come back on weeks after disruption, then that's a challenge in terms of understanding the resilience of the business community. And just looking at two other areas, we look at how many businesses understand how they can link their business plans to the national early warning systems. So looking at the advice from the Met offices, the structure that's put in place, looking at the Department of Emergency Management and the structure that they've put in place to support the resilience of Barbados, understanding how our business plans link into that to make it successful as a whole, not one organization by itself operating in a silo and another on the other side, but how can we be unified as businesses and the national early warning system in Barbados? And finally, how many sector coaches are now able to support businesses? Because a key part of the Train the Trainer workshop is developing a cadre of coaches who are able to support MSMEs to support businesses in Barbados, ensuring that it's sustainable. And we're really delighted of the Chamber's involvement and support and guidance in how we can ensure that businesses are sustained in Barbados and they can be more resilient. Now, you also ask about the tangible parts of it. Now, tangible changes that Bajan businesses or businesses in Barbados should expect to see is that there are sector-specific business continuity planning templates that can reflect their realities. So we've designed 5 business continuity planning templates. So for each of these sectors, including tourism, retail and commerce, manufacturing, professional services and financial services, businesses within these sectors can have a more tailored approach. We also spoke about the trained coaches in business continuity, and also looking at practical tools that can help to identify the different risks, understanding the roles of the staff members, the backup systems, and also finally just ensuring the stronger alignment between the business community and national preparedness systems. These are some of the tangible changes we expect to see.
Well, thank you for addressing that. And I'm sure even in listening, there are those who are looking forward to seeing what will come of this. And there are some small business owners who may be listening right now, and they're just really wanting to know some of the practical first steps. How can they begin building resilience and continuity into their operations, even with limited resources?
No, that's a great question, and I'm happy you asked this, because one of the challenges that businesses say for is like, I don't have money. How am I going to deal with this? You're asking me to put this plan in place, and I don't see the resources to make it happen. Well, first of all, a business don't need a big, well, they would not need a big budget in order to start resilience planning. Any business can start with simple steps. And I'm just going to share 3 simple steps that any business who is listening, whether you're a nail technician, whether you're a driver, whether you're a fisherman or fisher person, you know, we ensure that all the genders get to understand that it's not just for one set. Women can be empowered, men can be empowered as well. So the first step is identifying critical operations. And a business should ask themselves, what must we do every day to survive? So if it's I'm just going as basic, a nail technician. If a nail technician does not do nails, then the income doesn't come in, right? So every business needs to be able to identify what must we do to survive. It's thematic. If you don't provide the cleaning services to the businesses, will the business survive? Well, we have to look at what must we do firstly to survive as a business, and what can stop us from doing that. So for that business, if it is lack of transportation for customers, if the roads are blocked, if it's a business that whether it's a consultant, there are many different individuals in Barbados, and I can't touch on every sector, but look at what are some of the risks that can stop your business from operating. So this is number one in terms of identifying the critical operations. And then we move to step number 2. Now, what is the biggest risk? I know we touched on it a little bit in terms of the critical operations, but identifying what the biggest risks are. And not looking just at one, we may say hurricanes, or it may be flooding, or it may be something else, but are staff able to reach work? If an internet outage takes place, how will the business continue? We have to also look at if the customers are affected, then how does that affect the business? And then for step 3, we write down, what would you do tomorrow if that happened? So you could ask a few questions. Who do you call? Where do you operate from? Do you operate from the same place, or do you now move to a different location? And finally, how do you serve customers? Because if our customers are not served, then why are we really even in business? Because we're there to provide value to someone, and that value is our customer. So these questions and these steps do not take money to ask ourselves these questions. We can ask these questions with or without having money, but then that's just the beginning of a business continuity plan. So we may even look at, how do I back up data? How do I, ensuring that I print a list of my key contacts? For a simple, someone may think some businesses are small and they're simple, but every business have key persons that they communicate with. Could be vendors, could be customers. Make sure we have a list of this. Do we also know alternative suppliers? So if, let's say, I'm getting fuel from one gas station, and something goes wrong at that gas station, where's the next best place that I could get fuel from to continue doing my operations? And finally, looking at training our staff on emergency roles, like how do we even identify who does what? These are some of the low cost, and we believe they're also high impact actions that businesses can put in place so that we can be as resilient as possible. Because if we look at the chain, if there's one business or one sector that's not thriving in Barbados, it affects everyone else. So we want to ensure that everyone, including they would say the small man, there's no small man because everyone have a key role to play in the economy.
Absolutely. Wow. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Lizra, Fabien. Now, Michelle, Mrs. Loban Clark, why has building disaster and climate resilience for small and medium-sized businesses become such a priority for the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry at this time?
Thank you, Krista J. When we look at micro, small, and medium-sized entities, and I think Lizra alluded to it earlier in her commentary, they are the backbone of any economy. They drive innovation, they provide employment, they provide essential services to communities and to our economy in general. And we have statistics from the, we're informed by statistics from the IDB that tells us that MSMEs actually comprise 96.3% of all formal enterprises in Barbados, Krista J. That actually represents almost the entirety of the business sector. So collectively, what we're seeing is that MSMEs account for about 60.7% of the workforce. In other words, more than six in every 10 Barbadian workers are employed by an SME. So what it is that that statistics, and I painted that picture for you to emphasize that MSMEs are in fact so critical that, and Lizra underscored it, that if they are impacted by any form of disruption, then you're looking at an impact, a knock-on ripple effect on communities, livelihoods, families, and then the entire economy. And so let's look at the reality then that Barbados and the rest of the Caribbean, we are vulnerable, of course, to hurricanes and other disruptions. We have been seeing firsthand, even recently, of the kind of disruptions that we face on in terms of communities and our economy and businesses when we have a hurricane, for example, right? So, but by their nature, of course, because they're small businesses have fewer resources, they have constraints. What it also means is that it's a little bit more difficult for them to buffer against the shocks when a hurricane strikes. But for every loss that we have from a business, every disruption, it is impacting and having the knock-on effects that I mentioned. You know, in fact, Barbados actually lost 600 million in terms of economic losses due to over the last 2 decades alone due to
Wow.
natural disasters. And so what we're looking at is in terms of the Barbados Chamber, we know that it therefore is important that we fortify our small businesses against threats, particularly even within the membership of the chamber. When we did our last strategic plan, the reality is that SMEs make up about 70, nearly 70% of the chamber's membership. So it means that we then have a mandate and a responsibility, right, to not just represent our businesses, but to also become advocates and of this and ensuring that we are driving and promoting our thought leaders discussions and in terms of disaster preparedness, business recovery and resilience. And by resilience, let me just break it down for our listeners. We're talking about the ability of any business or an economy to just manage or weather a crisis. and having the kind of effective business continuity and disaster recovery strategies. And I think Lizra broke it down really nicely when she talked deep dive and gave some specific examples. So as a chamber, we recognize that we have a critical role to assist businesses in building their resilience capacity. And in so doing, what we know that we're doing is we're not just helping a business, Krista J, but we're helping to build and safeguard livelihoods for workers, their families, and then by extension, the community. So, and the economy. So what we do through our risk management and crisis recovery committee is that we provide resilience and risk management and capacity building seminars for our and training workshops for our members within the business sector. Then we also provide the policy advocacy, any kind of technical support that is needed. And we also strategically partner with whether it's government, multilateral agencies like the UNDRR to implement the disaster preparedness and resilience initiatives, all geared towards helping our businesses to be able to not just build in the necessary buffers and strengthening their capacity, but having that ability to build back better and or to even weather and having that resilience to weather disruptions. So that's it in a nutshell as to what drives the chamber to pay attention to something as critical as climate resilience and even and more importantly, the SMEs prioritizing how we help them to build capacity.
Absolutely. I mean, I think Jamaica last year with Hurricane Melissa was the most recent and biggest example
Correct.
for us to follow, given what would have happened. Nobody was prepared for that. And so we definitely have to put things in place, as you're doing now, it at this time as well, and not wait until the hurricane season officially begins. Hallam Payne, otherwise known as Andrew, Managing Director of Steamatic Barbados Limited. Now, from your experience, sir, how did climate or disaster-related disruptions impact Steamatic Barbados Limited? And what were the immediate challenges you faced in keeping the business operational?
Well, thanks for the question. Really appreciate it. A lot of great information thus far came out. For us, we sit in a very peculiar position or a very interesting position as a company. We provide disaster restoration services. So we are naturally in this realm of area where we respond to disasters. However, as a company responding to disasters, we must have our own contingency plans. And we've been tr tremendously, we are tremendously impacted when you have a disaster or some kind of major occurrence within the island. And when things like this happen, the first thing that happens is it kind of it almost there's this surge of things, this surge of business, this surge of calls. And for us, we look at these calls as a way to help people as well. From our perspective, if you don't go in with that attitude, chances are you're going to run yourself into problems because persons are stressed when disasters occur, and you have to have that emotional intelligence of how to interact. And this is something that we, this is one of the things that we talk a lot about within our teams or within our groups or within our staff, that when a major occurrence happens, you've got to be mindful of a person's emotional state at that time. So when you get a large spike of calls and then you have to be the logistics and moving things, you start to get stretched very, you lose capacity very quickly. So we as a company try to build capacity to in order to respond to disasters as a company, but internally we also have to make sure that we can our staff are safe. When these calls happen, we have a plan that is in place with our disaster contingency planning. And yeah, so you find that That is the first thing is that big spike. Then you have to look at the different things that would affect you. How would you get to the jobs? How do you get to the office? Are our staff safe? How do they get there? And we also in the back, not in the background, but you're always getting these calls from the clients and trying to prioritize who do you go to first? You know, who, you know, are. And that also we have a criteria for it. And sometimes if it's something where there's active situation where persons need immediate response, whether their house is flooding and the water is still standing, they have plugs on the wall that they need to get that power off quickly so that when persons come in and they're moving in the space that there's no electrical risk if flooding is what occurred. So there's a whole list of things that we as a company that responds to disasters and actually are affected by disasters or any kind of major occurrence have to prepare for. But you know that how looking after your staff, making sure your technicians and those persons are in a mental state is one of my key things that I look at when coming to responding to disasters. And of course, you have to have money put one side. you gotta try your best to have some monies there. And I remember when we had the volcano eruption, and very I don't know how many of us really took it seriously when it happened. We knew it was happening, but I don't think for those persons who have never, like myself, that never experienced it, we heard as children, yeah, there was ash falling from the sky, and you have this kind of vision that ash falling from the sky is kind of I don't know, but when ash start to fall, we understand it now totally different. It's a whole different situation.
Felt surreal.
Yeah, it was surreal. And fortunately, we had some disaster monies put one side that we could go quickly and re-up on certain items that allowed that when that those spike of those things were happening, we were able to respond.
I'm glad you mentioned that because given the fact that Steamatic is actually a global company and you're operating, Steamatic is in over 24 countries, then you have a framework upon which to draw so that we can apply it here to us in Barbados. As we have to wrap up, and this has now become part one in our look at from risk to readiness, building climate and disaster resilience in Barbados's MSMEs. And in part one, we've heard from Mrs. Misha Loban-Clark, Executive Director of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Ms. Lizra Fabien, UNDRR consultant, and Mr. Hallam Payne, Managing Director of Steamatic Barbados Limited. I'm going to ask you panelists to join us for part two because we still have a lot to dive into this very, very interesting and relevant topic. So stay with us, and we invite our listeners to tune in next Monday at 2:30 p.m. for the next edition. I am Crystal J. Paul.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.